through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy.
Live from Seahawks training camp.
On 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Happy Friday. If you guys couldn't tell by the screaming voice in the background, Jake Heaps back in studio officially. He joined us for the final hour of yesterday's show. Was also at training camp, so we've got observations coming up for you guys. And as a reminder, it is the MLB trade deadline today. 2 hours away, we'll tell you about the latest Mariners moves and let you know the second a new trade is made. So stay glued right here to 710 ESPN Seattle. Also, it's going to be a big weekend. It's going to be a sunny weekend, a hot weekend, a beautiful weekend. I'm personally not excited for it because I don't like being outside and I don't like socializing. But many other people do.
Good weather.
Yeah. But many other people do. And if you do, I understand, which is why we want to get you hooked up. We want to set you straight here with $500, a $500 Visa
Woo!
Gift card.
Start your weekend off
your
right.
Your chance to win that is coming up in four down territory. So if you're like a normal person, you can go out, get lunch and dinner with friends outside, enjoy the sun, dinner's on you. And if you're like me, you stay inside and enjoy the shade in front of a fan and order a bunch of stuff from Amazon. So
or
do with it what you
or
will.
If you're frugal, you say you put $500 in your bank account and you keep it, right? Save it for a rainy day. No, Stacey? No? Curtis? No?
Boring.
Okay.
I mean,
all right, never mind.
$500 right before the weekend.
I don't think so, buddy.
Burning a hole in your boy's pocket.
It's going to be Monday, and I'm going to be like, wait, did that go through my checking account? Where'd it go? I don't know. All right. So that chance for you coming up in four down territory, that starts at 12:13. So let's get back to the trade deadline, though. The deadline is at 1 p.m. today, and the Mariners ahead of it have made just three moves. Let me sum those up right now. You sent pitcher Kendall Graveman and Rafael Montero to the Astros. That one was easily the most controversial move, in part because you're sending one of your two best relievers, and in part because it came less than 24 hours after the Mariners' best win of the season. So the Mariners in return...
To your division rival.
In return, the Mariners got a 24-year-old infielder named Abraham Toro and a reliever, Joe Smith, which Toro is really kind of the big name in that deal. DePoto said that they'd love to make a run this year, but really the addition of Toro and another addition that I'll get to, it's about helping now and beyond. And do we have that cut of DePoto saying that, Curtis? Love to make a run this year.
Well, that's cut number two.
Cut number two.
Show sheet.
We're a young team. We're growing. We would very much like to be in the hunt for a postseason berth this year, but we feel like 2022 and beyond are real opportunities for us. And you know, the additions of players like Diego and Abraham Toro really help us in that regard.
That's right, Curtis. That's right.
Yeah, 2022 and beyond.
Now,
see how those numbers just shut up.
Now, with that, it's hard because you look at Kendall Graveman, and obviously we know how emotional that trade was in the moment. The timing was certainly not, I would say, ideal. And you look at the way that this trade went down after that emotional high. And you feel like, hey, DePoto has been saying all along that they're going to make moves to help this team progress moving forward to this year and beyond. Then you go and trade Kendall Graveman. That was a tough pill to swallow. But now you look at it, and eventually you had in that trade, it was originally just Toro and it was Joe Smith. And so when you look at that just on its face, you're wondering, man, I don't know. But I think that as this thing has progressed and gone along, you mentioned Castillo, that certainly, I think, changes some things.
They also picked up, I'm going a little bit out of order here, but they picked up another reliever, Diego Castillo from the Rays. Castillo, DePoto seems very high on. He said his postseason experience is a big part of it. But cut number one says Graveman was great, but here's what Castillo offers.
We love Gravy. He did a great job while he was here. You know, the fact is that he was due to hit free agency at year's end, and Diego Castillo is due to hit arbitration, you know, in 2022, but, you know, remains under club control for another 3 years. And that's, you know, that's a big part of this.
All right, for that, you give up another bullpen arm, JT Chargois, and then a prospect, Austin Shenton. And then the other trade you make is finally you acquire a starting pitcher, which we said a starting pitcher and a second baseman were their two biggest needs. You get kind of a middle to late of the rotation guy with Tyler Anderson from the Pirates, sending over two prospects there. And none of the prospects were like top 10 or like really high prospects. Not like people were worried, are they going to give up Marte? Are they going to give up Rodriguez? Are they going to give up one of their two right-handers? They haven't done that. It's been lower level prospects or slightly outside of there.
Right.
And end up getting a starting pitcher who I believe is expected to make his debut for Seattle in this series against the Rangers. So in sum, you got an infielder, you got two relievers, including a really good reliever with Castillo, and you got Tyler Anderson. There's still a lot of context.
There's still a lot of context here, and that's why I think that when you're looking at it, you're going, all right, Mariners, all right, Jerry DePoto, what do you got up your sleeve, and what are you going to do next? But I do have to say that when you talk about this, I think there's a lot of context. I think there's a lot of layers to what they have done, and if you can get over the initial shock of Kendall Graveman and that trade, where they're at, I think, sets themselves up pretty well. And there's two parts of this that I think are hard for Mariners fans to parse with. One is the idea of winning and going for it and trying to make the playoffs, and Jerry DePoto saying that we are going to support this team in doing so. But the other side of that, that caveat of we are not going to give up pieces, future pieces, to make that happen for now. We are still building towards the future, and he has said that multiple times. Stacey, you referenced the movie of 500 Days of Summer, that all along Zooey Deschanel is giving that reference of saying, hey, this is what it's always going to be. You may feel different. We may have a great relationship,
yeah,
and you may want to, you know, pursue it further.
I'm not the villain, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You're the villain.
But I've been up front the entire time. With Jerry, I think he's parsed words a little bit. And he's mixed words and send some mixed signals. But one thing that I think he's really, really been what he's meant to say all along is, if we can get to the playoffs this year, fantastic. And if our club and the guys, the young players that we have, are stepping up and they're contributing at a higher level than what we may have anticipated, their development is progressing quicker, then great, we have a chance of closing out into the wild card. But we also see 2022 as the year for us to really, truly compete. And so when you put these moves into that context, Abraham Toro, you look at Diego Castillo, those moves to me really help set you up for 2022, help you set up for the future. But you look at Joe Smith, in his career, he's been a pretty solid bullpen arm. This year, over 7 ERA, that's going to, you know, shock your eyes. But I think he can be good for this team in the second half of the season. We'll have to wait and see. Tyler Anderson is some help, some much-needed help in your starting rotation. He's a actual starting caliber pitcher. This is not a day where you can look at the calendar and say, oh, Tyler Anderson's pitching, automatic L. That's not the case for this team. That's a big upgrade. And so I'm not saying that the Mariners, man, they deserve a lot of credit for the moves that they've done, and wow, what a great job Jerry DePoto has done. But I also think that the initial shock and the anger that I had over the Graveman
trade when it first happened.
No, I didn't either. But
the three of us were all texting
each
other.
As of today, I feel better about it. But I still would love to see them make one more move. I just don't know if that's going to happen, because as you look at all the rumors of the trades that they've been involved in, just flat out haven't come together. I mean, the hot one today that as we were walking into the building today was Jose Berrios, Curtis, the name that you threw out from the beginning, that the Mariners were hot on that trail. But guess who else was there? A lot of major contenders that wanted his arm too, and eventually he goes to the Blue Jays, right? They're willing to part with the number two, number four prospect for him. You look at Trey Turner, you look at Merrifield from the Kansas City Royals, who oddly enough have like a crazy demand in terms of a trade, what they want. They're asking way too much for him. But all the names that you would have felt like, man, that is that splash move, the Mariners have tried, but they have not been able to get anywhere close to sealing the deal.
Yeah, I guess in the full picture now coming together, I don't think it's like objectively bad trades. I mean, we'll see. If you have you know, the Rays are really smart front office. If Castillo falls off, or if there's something there, and then Graveman has a fantastic year, and like, you know what I mean? That, like, there are ways for this to not work out. For right now, like, all of it kind of makes sense, but I wanted it to be more than making sense. I want at some point for this team to be aggressive with the additions that it makes. And frankly, a lot of the things that it's been promising with its young prospects, we're still waiting for. Evan White's done for the year and never really grew at the plate, right? The way that we were expecting him to. Gold Glover, great defense, did not become the bat that we were hoping we'd see him develop into in 2021. The guys that are leading your team aren't Jared Kelnick. Logan Gilbert's been fantastic, but
it's not Kyle Lewis either.
It's not. It's Haniger. It's Seager. Guys that you've had in a previous iteration of this team. It's Ty France, who wasn't really going to be part of this rebuild. He was just the best piece you got out of a trade with the Padres. I mean, it's luck in a way. It's a great bullpen from a bullpen that you were not expecting to be great. You know what I mean? And it's why people were so upset, because that bullpen is a big part of the reason you have the record that you do, despite all other things pointing to an offense that's really struggling. I mean, bottom of the league with OPS and I think average as well. So there's plenty to be excited about with the team. I love watching JP Crawford. I loved that win over the Astros in the series opener. And I also understand that there's plenty of upside with the farm system. And I know all these prospects won't work out, but some of them might, and they might really work out, right?
They
there's
could.
Plenty of reason to be excited. But I understand if it wasn't going to be this trade deadline when the Mariners made the move, then is it going to be this offseason? I mean, are you just going to make modest gains forever until you see that Julio is for sure an all-star in 2023? I mean, what are you waiting for before you make moves?
They were in on the Jose Berrios situation. They were in on situations that I thought made sense for them in a lot of different ways, but I also think that they were smart and not overdoing it. And I think sometimes the best trades that you make are sometimes the trades that you don't end up doing. Is Jose Berrios the piece that's going to get them to the World Series? Or are guys like Emerson Hancock, George Kirby, Noel V. Marte, Julio Rodriguez, are those the pieces that are going to get you there, along with better opportunities in spending? I think that the problem that that DePoto got himself into is promising that unequivocal help, not the timeline necessarily, but the unequivocal stance of we are going to help this team be better here in 2021. And I think that part of it, you look at the team right now, today, if I ask you this question, are the Mariners better today than where they were at the start of the week? Are they significantly better?
I think getting a starting pitcher alone makes you better. And Toro, while he's struggled in comparison to the rest of the Astros lineup, suddenly becomes like a decent hitter for your lineup.
Okay. So they improved, but how much?
Modestly.
Okay. So they modestly improve from where they are. That might be, I don't think it is, depending and showing the way that the Rays have gotten better, the way that the Yankees certainly have gone all in. You're going to be in a tough position to really, really compete and end up winning that wild card spot. But these guys have overcome the odds the whole way. And if those modest improvements can help them along the way, I think that DePoto has essentially delivered on what he said he was going to do while also building towards the future. Imagine this bullpen next year. Imagine, you know, what this lineup can be next year. But the big part of it, as you question, Stacey, that I think is 100% right, is now there's even more expectations on the offseason and what you do and the additions you make.
All right. As a reminder, you guys, our training camp coverage is presented by Precor Home Fitness. Jake and I will be back out at Seahawks training camp Monday, live from VMAC. Right now, it's time for Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, Mariners reliever Hector Santiago suspended 80 games this time by Major League Baseball, but it was for testing positive for PEDs. What is the real headline?
Santiago joins Nelson Cruz, D. Gordon, and Shaggy as people who remain well-liked even after they were caught cheating. I would like to say my alternate headline, which I felt I didn't like the implication for Cruz and D. Gordon, but it was Santiago joins Nelson Cruz, D. Gordon, and Tiger Woods as athletes who remain well-liked even after they were caught cheating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one implies,
that one implies Nelson
those guys
and
were
D.
Unfaithful, yes.
Yeah,
which
is not the case, but got to get a Tiger Woods joke in there.
This one to me was shocking. I don't know how it was for you. It's not like Hector Santiago is this big-time piece to the Mariners, but this one just kind of hurt you a little bit when it comes to your bullpen, and just when it came down to the 10-game suspension that he had served, everything that he was going through, now you got the 80-game PED suspension. Maybe there was a little something going on in that glove. I still don't think so. Sweat and rosin, I don't think that there was anything really, really wrong in what he did in that situation. Still feel strongly about that. I almost still came to the defense, my initial reaction of joining Santiago and saying, did Major League Baseball spike something? Did they? Is the conspiracy that strong that they're just trying to keep our guy, Hector Santiago, down? Obviously, that's not the case. And look, this is an older pitcher that was trying to continue to remain around the game. He was out the entire year last year. Hector can say what he wants or spin the story the way that he wants. I think it's pretty obvious here that older pitcher trying to stay in the game and get back in the game here.
Headline rewrites.
This morning, the SEC officially granted membership to Texas and Oklahoma, and that will start in 2025 for now, probably earlier. What is the real headline?
ESPN replied that those claims from the Big 12 that they somehow conspired to get Texas and Oklahoma have no merit. But for more information and a potential schedule breakdown for Texas and Oklahoma, check out their special right here on the SEC Network.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It's so true. I love this. And look, I will be very, very curious to see if the Big 12 in this suit has any chance of winning. I just don't know how you can prove that. And for ESPN, what are they supposed to do? They're a sports network. They're supposed to be reporting on rumors and all those things that are happening. So I don't understand where they've gone wrong, other than if the Big 12 has a smoking gun that they feel like they have that can prove that ESPN heads of college football were trying to broker this deal with Texas, with Oklahoma, and the SEC. I just don't know if you're going to get that type of concrete evidence to win a suit like this. Sorry, Big 12. You guys just aren't as attractive as the SEC, and this conference realignment situation is bonkers.
Wasn't part of the accusation, Curtis, also that they were accusing ESPN of encouraging the ACC?
The AAC.
The AAC, that's what I said, of going after additional Big 12 member schools?
Yeah, they were accusing the SEC and the AAC of basically poaching the rest of the Big 12, which, I mean, I don't know if ESPN values their TV deal with the AAC more than it does their TV deal with the Big 12. I mean, that just seems kind of backwards, right? The AAC, that's teams like Memphis and Cincinnati, kind of the second tier of major schools in college athletics, not, you know, the big boys. You never consider the AAC as part of that group. So that, to me, is kind of fishy when you lump them in with all those, that kind of speculation.
Headline rewrites.
In the association, the Lakers
have
traded four-star point guard, not Damian Lillard, but Russell Westbrook instead. So what is the real headline?
After a week of sports stories about the rich getting richer, it was nice to see a feel-good moment where a plucky LA team got its first big superstar.
Gosh.
You love
something
to see
they've
it.
Never had.
You love to see a little team like the Lakers get someone big out there, get a big name to draw fans in the stands, just like you love to see the Dodgers go trade for Scherzer and Trey Turner and finally get a chance at a championship. You know what I mean?
The sarcasm couldn't be dripping more right now. What I am curious to see about this, I was shocked to see that Westbrook was going to go to L.A. One, it's cool for him. He's a California guy, born and raised, and went to UCLA, all of that. So it's a homecoming for Russell Westbrook. But at the same time, the leader of the team is LeBron, right? But Russell Westbrook doesn't back down from anybody. He is going to be the guy that day in and day out is putting in the work, is the guy. And I'm not saying LeBron isn't. But in terms of determination, in terms of scrappiness, in terms of laying it all out there on the court, that's who Russell Westbrook is. Love him or hate him for it, And I'll be very curious to see what that dynamic is going to be like, because Westbrook isn't going to back down from LeBron. He isn't going to take his P's and Q's from LeBron. That's just not his personality.
No.
So what is that going to look like? I'm going to be very, very curious to see how LeBron is, if this sparks him a little bit, if this wakes him up a little bit, or if Westbrook is going to have some major beef and tension with LeBron at this stage in his career.
I am also very curious about that, but I think we were having a similar conversation when Harden was traded to the Nets about, well, what's it going to be like when you have headstrong superstars leading this pack? Are they just going to fight? Because on paper, they're full of talent, and they end up getting pretty deep into the postseason and being a really solid team through most of the regular season. So, again, I think we always wonder how's it going to look like when, especially in the NBA, where big players just have way more power over a team. What's it going to look like when those two people come to a head? But we've seen a very recent example of it working out pretty well. So I wonder if that's going to be the case in LA. But we'll see. I mean, LeBron's also different, right? He's in a completely different situation. So
he is. And our resident LA Laker here, Christian, from the 206, don't worry. They met 2 weeks ago. They spoke about it. I'm sure they did have that conversation, but it's one thing to have a private conversation. It's another thing to get into the season and to start having adversity hit or to have things happen along the way that you don't like. I'm just saying, Russell Westbrook is not backing down from anybody, and he's a guy that ruffles major, major feathers. So I think that they're going to be successful, but I'll be curious to see how it works out.
All right, coming up, we're going to announce this show's Seahawks code word for your chance to win 4 tickets to Seahawks training camp. Don't forget, you can kick off the start of the football season with an update to your Seahawks wardrobe with all the latest gear at the new training collection. Shop today at Seahawks.com/proshop. And you guys, the Mariners made 3 moves. And they have a couple hours until today's trade deadline. Did they get better in 2021? And did they improve in 2022 and beyond? Everything you need to know about the Mariners coming your way next when we talk to Shannon Dreyer. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Live from the sidelines at Seahawks training camp.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
Now here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
This hour of Jake and Stacy is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. And joining us now, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer, is Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer. Shannon, I'm going to start with the first and most controversial trade Jerry DePoto made. What do you make of sending Graveman and Montero to Houston for Toro and Smith?
Well, I think it was a very Jerry DePoto trade. It was right out of the Jerry DePoto trade book. And it was kind of interesting in that we really haven't seen him make trades for the last 2 years. It's been about, let's get these guys some experience out there, and we're not touching the prospects. And so it was a little strange to see the trade that we did see so often when they did. And it was all about trading for club control of players, of young players that they thought could be something for them. And I think that's what they saw in Toro, a guy that hasn't had a lot of kind of runway at the big league level. If you look at what Toro has done, and people look at the batting average, and they're familiar with him. They've heard his name the last 3 years, but the fact of the matter is he's had fewer plate appearances at the big league level than Chet Long has. He hasn't had very long looks with Houston because they've been in a different situation. They've been a playoff team. They got a guy by the name of Alex Bregman at third base. So he really hasn't been able to get off the ground. This is somebody that the Mariners behind the scenes very much like, that the analysts like, that they think that there is something there, and this is a situation where they can put him out there and play every day. And Graveman, we all know what he did in the pen. We all know what he did in the clubhouse. We saw the reaction when he left the team, and, you know, that's going to be a part of this deal, and that's going to be something to watch as this goes forward, that, you know, on paper, the deal, I think, makes sense, especially since they were able to replace Graveman in the bullpen. But what is going to be the impact of what we saw happen when that trade came down?
Shannon, that's such a, as I said at the top of the show, that there's so many layers to this, you know, the flurries of moves and where we're at. And as you illustrate, on paper, I think that they are in a good position right now in terms of the actual feeling, in terms of the clubhouse vibe and the culture that is going on there. That's one that is still up in the air. What has to happen for that to be remedied as we look at the end or the close of 2021? Is that a playoff berth, or is that guys like Castillo, guys like Abraham Toro, and so forth, that those guys are contributing?
Well, I think it all starts today. I don't even look at kind of the length of it right now, is that, you know, everybody's had the day off now, and it's been a few days since the shock of this happened. And now you are in a situation where you're coming up against a road trip that the back end of the road trip will be as tough as anything that you've faced. But the front end, there's huge opportunity. You're going up against the Texas Rangers, who've pretty much been the worst team in baseball for the last month, you know, coming off a 12-game losing streak. They've won a couple since, but they've been a mess this year. And so now is your opportunity, because, you know, what cures all ills? You both know what cures all ills, and that's winning. And this is your best opportunity over the next 3 days. So I'm not one who is ever going to point to a game or a series unless you're in September and you're kind of counting down to trying to get into the postseason. This is a really big series, but I'm going to go ahead and say this is a really big series they have in front of them. They need to get off on a good foot after the deadline, after these things have happened, and they've got a great opportunity to do so with the team that is right in front of them. Doesn't hurt that Toro is off to a good start with them. And, you know, ultimately, you can feel for the guys in that clubhouse, and it's a different situation. I mean, every team has leaders, and every team has players that mean a lot to them. Graveman was different in that he came in and, you know, he took ownership right away, and you don't see that with players that come in. And he also was a pitcher that reached out to hitters, and you don't often see that either. And it's also been in a strange time. You know, he came in when everything was uncertain, when they had the 2-month COVID season and things like that. So I think that the ties and the bonds are deeper, and part of that because, you know, there were no fans. They were sequestered from everybody. It was a very different situation. That, I think, plays into it a lot. But at the end of the day, it's all about going out and winning. Their goals should be the same. They want to get to the postseason. And so that is something that is going to have to be put aside to get them out on the field and play those games. And I think that they have an opportunity with the Rangers in front of them to get this going on a good note.
Did the moves they made arguably help them get to the postseason, or was it not enough yet?
Oh, I think if you look at the moves, and again, it's, you're on paper on one hand and there's
right.
The emotions on the other hand. But on paper, yes. I mean, the first and the most important move that they made was picking up Tyler Anderson. They've got a fifth starter, a real starter, a guy that's going to go out there and pitch 5 or 6 innings every fifth day. That's what he has done. And if you look at him and say that he's unspectacular, I look at him and say he's not 5 guys and he's not killing your bullpen. So that's something that's very different. But, I mean, it goes beyond that. If you look at what he did in Pittsburgh, he made 18 starts for them, all but 4 of them, he gave up 3 or fewer runs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has been good for 5-6 innings with 3 runs. That's great. That's what you want. That's going to take stress off of the bullpen as well.
Yeah, I will
say. The bullpen days absolutely have an impact on that.
Yeah, I will say he's got a 9-run allowed outing against Atlanta back in, I think, May that kind of skews a little bit of that. I have a really quick clarifying question before I throw it back to Jake. Are we going to see Anderson in this upcoming series against the Rangers?
Yes. In fact, I was just looking that up when I think they've actually announced, I've got that right here while you guys were calling in. They've said all along that he would pitch tomorrow. Okay, tonight it's Logan Gilbert. Tomorrow, Tyler Anderson. Sunday, Marco Gonzalez.
All right.
Shannon, we're coming here towards the end of the trade deadline. We've got the counter going down, and we're all watching. It seemed like the Mariners were very, very hot on Jose Berrios, which was interesting, the starting pitcher from the Minnesota Twins. And it, obviously that fell through. Do you expect the Mariners to be done at this point in time, or is there a chance that DePoto could surprise us here?
Well, that's what DePoto does. He's actually kind of known for those last minute deals, and sometimes multiple deals in the last minute. So, yeah, I have no doubt that he is still trying for another pitcher. He's talked about trying for another bat. I don't quite understand where that fits into things, but sure, bring him on if you want. He's going to want to be involved, and it's going to be, he's in a situation where he knows what he will give up. And if there is something that is there for the right price, and the Berrios, you want to know part of what the Blue Jays gave up. That you don't want to go there. You're happy that that deal with the equivalent on the Mariners farm system was not made. But, you know, the Blue Jays are in full fire sale right now. Michael Pineda could be moved. Kenta Maeda could be moved. Kyle Gibson, there's still talk that he could be moved. There are a lot of names out there. So I would expect, you know, DePoto is making calls on everybody right now, and it's going to come down to if a team is willing to accept what the Mariners are willing to give up at this point in terms of prospects.
Man, if I was a Mariners fan or a baseball fan, I sure would stay tuned to 710 ESPN Seattle. Listen to see if there's another trade. That's just me. That's just my. We got about 30 seconds left here, Shannon. Did that wild card race become that much tougher for the Mariners with gains by other teams?
Well, Oakland made a significant gain with the bat. They also added to the pen. So, yes, I think the Astros are getting stronger, and they have the experience in their favor. I think you look at Tampa, who's in this as well, and I think they perhaps hurt themselves a little bit. So I'd say yes, a bit, but it's not over. That's why you're staying tuned to 710 for the next hour and a half.
All right. She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer. Follow her at Shannon Dreyer. She'll have these updates as well. And be sure to check out her work at 710sports.com. Thanks, Shannon.
All right, guys.
See ya. A prominent Seahawks sounded off on what he thinks Jamal Adams should get in an extension. We'll tell you what he said next. Don't go anywhere. This is Jake and Stacey on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Live from the sidelines at Seahawks training camp.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Now here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right, we're taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Logan Gilbert takes the mound tonight for the Mariners in their series opener against the Texas Rangers. First pitch is at 5:05 p.m., which means pregame show starts at 4 p.m. on 710 ESPN Seattle. So don't go anywhere. You're staying around for the trade deadline. You're sticking around for Wyman and Bob. And then you're listening to that pregame show. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business.
I'm looking at the text line right now. Uh-huh. And I...
Oh, no.
Jerry DePoto. You got like a bunch of fake mob bosses out here. Hour and a half, Jerry. Hour and a half. It's like they're waiting
to
sit here.
Something. What happened to
waiting
Cole?
Waiting to sit here to collect on whoever's not paying their debts.
An hour and a half, Jerry. An hour and a half.
Four people get that joke.
That's all that matters.
It's
three of them are in this room.
Inept right. Mobster Garrett Cole, when he said you'd hate to see something happen.
Hey, Jerry. An hour and a half. We're collecting your debt.
His voice does not match he looks and how dominant he is.
Which would
sense.
It would be very reflective of the Seattle fan base, you know? Like, nothing's really going to happen. Let's just be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. If nothing's really going to happen, there's not going to be
We're going to be very disappointed
outcry.
Inside
exactly.
very
we
heavily,
will.
Jake.
Hour and
I'm
a half, Jerry.
Upset.
If you don't do anything, we'll be highly disappointed and say it in our own home and not
exactly
anywhere
what
else.
Happens. If the Mariners do not get active in free agency after this year, whew, I'll be huffing and puffing all day long. You just wait and see for that, and that'll make you feel bad. Our training camp coverage, by the way, is presented by Precor Home Fitness. Jake and I back out there on Monday. You know who we're going to see out there, Jamal Adams, but will he have a new deal? Remains to be seen, but let's see what Pete Carroll had to say. Cut number six, this was Carroll on the first day of training camp, so on Wednesday when asked, hey, where are things with Jamal Adams and the team right now?
The conversations have been ongoing for some time and been very amicable. He's in a good place. You know, they've worked really hard to this point. I'm very hopeful that it's going to get taken care of here soon, very soon.
That's the feeling and the vibe that I have heard. I asked around yesterday at training camp to a bunch of different people that I feel very, very confident that are pretty plugged into the situation that echo what Pete is saying, that contract negotiations are getting close. They are getting closer to a deal, which is great news in regards to the whole saga of Jamal Adams and his extension. We'll see if that actually is the case or not. But obviously, the sooner that you can get it done, the better in regards to getting Jamal Adams back out there. And there may be still a question of whether he is able to practice the first week or two due to injury and just coming back from surgery and all of that. But I think it's very positive that they're at this place. And another one that stood out to me was at cut number five, Bobby Wagner, talking about Jamal Adams' contract negotiation.
You guys saw it from practice last year. You saw the energy that he brought on the field, and that was one way. Obviously, the blitzing, you know, his just energy is so contagious. It makes you want to step your game up. And so, you know, he's somebody that we were fortunate to have, and you know, we can't wait for him to be back out there on the field. He's deserving of everything that he's looking for. And, you know, we as players support him.
I think that statement is really intriguing because, Stacey, what did he say? we support him in everything that he is asking for.
Mm-hmm.
That, so does Jamal Adams or does Bobby Wagner feel that way? Do you think he feels that way if it would be over $18 million, if it was over Bobby's contract?
I think so. You don't think so?
Because there's a lot of people that are making a lot of noise that, man, don't you dare go over 18. That's gonna cause some big problems.
It's not necessarily going over 18 because of what it would mean for Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner knows that the second, it's like driving a new car off the lot. The second you drive it off the lot, it becomes less valuable. And each year you have it, it becomes less valuable. It's like player contracts. You might have the highest contract right now in, was it 2019 when Bobby signed that extension? But that's only going to last for a couple months before another linebacker gets an extension. And we've since seen it surpassed by Fred Warner, which we all kind of expected to happen. So his contract at linebacker has already been surpassed, and he knows that there's a chance that another player on his team could eventually surpass that contract. You'd expect it to be if you get like a premier defensive end, right? Because that would be a lot closer to 20 than it would to 17. Jamal Adams is... I think it would be more of you just want him to get it done and you want what's best for him and get out there.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think Bobby would be salty he's getting more than him if he was producing and balling out.
Correct. I don't view it as the same as maybe like a Percy Harvin situation when he came in and instantly was paid more than Doug Baldwin, you know, Jermaine Kearse and Golden Tate at the time, and never really contributed, yet he was getting paid more than all three of those guys, right? And there was some real animosity behind the scenes from those guys saying, like, what the heck, right? Like, and I think that the Seahawks are very conscientious about that. They're very conscientious about the dynamics of the locker room. And so that may be a sticking point for them that they don't want to have happen. But if they're wrapping up this deal, I'll say this. If they are wrapping up this deal here relatively soon, which is something that Pete Carroll indicated, which is something that I'm hearing right now behind the scenes, that we're getting closer and closer to this, and that we may see that in the next week, that this contract is probably going to be around $17.5 million per year.
Wagner.
Which would not surpass Bobby. If it dragged on beyond that, I do believe that you're looking at Jamal Adams asking for more than 18. But if they wrap this up relatively quickly within the first week or two of training camp, I would expect that number to be around $17.5 million per year.
Ooh, shortstop off the market here. This trade deadline keeps going. Jeff Passan of ESPN, not Mariners related. He says the Mets are finalizing a trade to acquire shortstop Javi Baez from the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, so Lindor and Baez.
Yeah, jeez. So some movement for one of the NL leaders over there from the Cubs, and that deal is pending medicals, but Javi Baez on the move.
You just see these big moves
everything
going on.
Everything is
and,
fine.
And I'm sorry, but you know, you're looking at the Mariners, and I know that they might not be getting in on these blockbuster deals, but there is a part of you that goes, man, what we're missing out here. And I'm not saying that it is wrong of them not to get into some of these bigger trades, but at the same time, you know, it would be awesome to have the Mariners make that move, to make that statement, and to have a piece that you feel like is going to be there not just for this season, but also the next couple years that you can really, really be excited about and feel like you're building around. And Javi Baez is a player that we all were anticipating would be in the open market after the following year. Still could be the case, but maybe the Mets now the Mets have an inside track in terms of re-signing him into next year. So this also changes kind of the layout of what your free agent market looks like in the following season.
You know the meme of Squidward looking out of his window to see a SpongeBob and Patrick Starr frolicking
running
and having
around.
Fun
yes,
outside?
Yes,
what today is.
That's today for every Mariners fan, and honestly, many of the last several years. All right, Jake and I were on the sidelines at Seahawks training camp yesterday, and we've got plenty of nuggets and observations for you guys. One new Seahawk was the highlight of the day, and one starter was sitting out with an injury. We'll get to that in a bit. Before we do that, we have one of the newest members of the Seattle Kraken, Maddie Beniers, joining us next.